You're listening to SBS News.
The humanitarian sector is being forced into making impossible decisions, having to choose between the hungry and the starving to provide aid to, as food insecurity surges due to conflict, climate change, and COVID-19. A new report highlights the disproportionate impact of the global hunger crisis on the world's most vulnerable groups. Plan International, whose Australian arm commissioned the report, has declared the hunger crisis as a red alert level emergency. They've highlighted 8 African countries in dire straits: Kenya, Ethiopia, Somalia, South Sudan, Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Haiti. The NGO's Australian CEO, Suzanne Legina, says that she found the findings of this latest report both confronting and difficult to digest.
The research found that the equivalent of 24 children, a typical Australian school class, are dying every 3.5 minutes of hunger-related causes. Between school starting at 9 and recess at 11:30, the equivalent of 60 classrooms will die of starvation. It's like a number I can't quite get my head around. It's just massive. We have like millions of people on the brink of what we call famine.
The statistics on the amount of children facing malnutrition, stunting, and death are shocking.
There are a lot of people just who are on the verge of starvation, or what we say is wasting. So children that are losing body fat are starting to be in that moment where you're starting to see malnutrition take hold. Some people listening will remember photographs from the 80s of bloated stomachs and children. We're talking about that sort of scale of hunger and starvation. That Ethiopian crisis in the 1980s was after 2 dry seasons. But what we're talking about now, we are heading into the 5th dry season.
Somalia is suffering its worst drought in over 40 years, and at least 300,000 children yet to reach the age of 5 are experiencing malnutrition. By the end of this year, it's expected that number will increase to 1.5 million. 11-year-old Joeria doesn't know from day to day whether she will have the opportunity to eat.
My family moved to a new area last year after we lost livestock in the previous drought, and now I live with my grandmother and mother. Sometimes I have breakfast and sometimes I don't get it. When I have breakfast, I'm okay, but when I don't have breakfast, I get sick. I usually go to school. When I walk, the sun is very hot. When I finish all the lessons and I walk in the hot sun, my stomach hurts a little. There are no sheep now, the animals are all gone, and the food is nowhere to be found.
Countries like South Sudan have experienced decades of widespread conflict and destruction. The rates of displacement are soaring and the violence never-ending. 18-year-old Adeng describes the devastation of a life constantly under siege.
Our enemies are always attacking us. We are always on the run. They kidnap our people, mostly women and children. Now the area we live in is destroyed.
In times of crisis, those that already face marginalisation in society are the ones that are most adversely affected, with heightened food insecurity amongst disabled communities and women and girls. Across the board, they have less decision-making powers, as well as limited access to resources like education.
60% of the people who are currently hungry are women and girls. So why is that an issue and why does that happen? It's because women and girls are just not regarded as valuable or as important as their male counterparts. They eat last, they eat least.
As their nutritional needs take a backseat to those of their male counterparts, they often struggle to properly focus and engage, leading them to being expelled from school. Others simply drop out. When household incomes decrease and food is scarce, families will often sell their daughters into forced marriages.
We lost all our food during the floods, and now we face hunger. The time I left my parents' house, I was still young. I moved to my husband's house, and now I am pregnant. Ever since, we have been struggling.
in crisis, people are so desperate. They start to consider what can they do, and their girls become, in some circumstances, commodities in the process of obtaining food. So in some places, you're seeing a doubling of the kind of child marriages that you would have seen from a year ago. That is not an act that families take lightly. They're doing that because there's some kind of trade-off for them, for their family, that they think is worth the price that they're paying, because they are so, so desperate.
One 15-year-old Kenyan girl quoted in the report says that she becomes fearful whenever she sees a man talking to her mother, thinking that she is about to become the deal. Female genital mutilation is also becoming increasingly commonplace, as is young girls promising sexual favours for access to necessities like food and sanitary pads. Berhe Terwolderbaron is Plan International Australia's head of disaster risk management. He spoke to SBS from Nairobi.
Violence is there, and early marriage is there, and reportedly days of because of starvation is there. So those who have would want to marry early age girls, and so families would be forced. They don't have anything to eat, and therefore they will be forced to resort to this kind of unhealthy practice. But it is out of starvation.
Berhe has worked for various NGOs and humanitarian organisations around South Sudan for decades. He was there in 1992 when the country was engulfed in war and displacement was ever widening. But back then, he said, there was enough global food supplies for aid groups to provide people with. In 2022, it's a different story.
Now, the food supply, the shortage of the supply chain is really what is impacting, and a lot to do, of course, with the funding, shortage of funding. And then also people could not cultivate because of the COVID. So all compounded, climate, conflict, COVID. I can say, if I compare the two, this is really, over 10 times worse.
Plan International Australia is now lobbying the Labor government to commit to a $150 million package to avert the worst impacts of this crisis.
The previous government, was also dealing with other crises, but had a kind of myopic view of Australia in the world, which was, we look after our own. If we look after anyone, it's only our nearest neighbours. The incoming government has, as we discovered, because we saw the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister, sort of almost embark on these meetings across the globe to reintegrate us back into a global effort. No one in the 21st century should be dying of hunger. We can do something about that, and I think we absolutely must do something about it.
Suzanne is now calling on all Australians to help increase lobbying efforts.
When I talked to politicians, they said Australians don't care about this issue, and that if you can prove to us that this is an issue that Australians care about, we'll do something. So we do have this Help Fight Famine campaign, which is asking you to write to your MP and say that we want the government, Australian government, to step up in this regard. And I would just ask every Australian who does care about this and think that it's outrageous in the 21st century that people are dying of hunger to talk to their MP, because until they get pressure there, they won't act.
Tina Quinn, SBS News.